The talk tonight is the courage to move forward when you feel discouraged. And it's a very interesting topic because when there's a series of setbacks, when you've got disappointments, it's natural to feel discouraged or even a tiny little bit hopeless. And the moment you feel discouraged or you go down that road of hopelessness, what happens is that you start seeing the world in a whole different way and you feel blocked, right? I know that I have in the past. And so, how do we move from a space of being discouraged? And where and what's the technique of finding courage at that time? And because courage isn't just strength, we often see it as strength, and it is, but it's also courage opens up the way we see the world and gives us a whole new perspective, which is light and bright and hopeful. And so, how do we tap into that courage without gritting our teeth? And that's very important. And so, this evening, we have Jane Kay. Jane is joining us from Leeds. She's a teaching fellow at the University of Leeds. She spent many years teaching in Brazil, Costa Rica, and she's also been based in Florida. So Jane's going to be sharing her thoughts and her experience and some tools with us this evening. After her talk, you'll be able, she'll do a short meditation with us. And then after that, you'll be able to put your questions to Jane. What we request is that you put the questions in the question and answer link rather than the chat. And I will take your questions and I will put them to Jane on your behalf. So you'll have that whole opportunity to explore the topic in a personal way too. Jane, over to you. Thank you very much.
Good evening to anyone who wasn't listening to our program chat. And I'd like us to take a moment just to become present. You may have had, I've been out in the garden. You may have had a busy day. You may have been thinking about things and worrying about things before this evening began. So I'd just like to take a moment for everyone to become present in this moment. And one of the ways of doing that is to breathe and come present. So I'd like everyone, if you can, to take a deep breath in for 6 seconds and then release it for 6 seconds and do that 3 times. So breathing in for 6 seconds. And out. And in. And out. And one more. Lovely, thank you. This talk is about moving forward with courage, but it actually, we move forward with or without courage, actually, because time just moves forward. And so even if we think we're not moving anywhere or not doing anything and life looks the same, every moment or every day we are different and we have moved forward because of the things we do and the way we think and the things we've understood. So we are actually perpetually moving forward. But let's break it down a little bit more. So I'm going to start with some wise words that I think say something about courage. And then I'm going to look at situations that the three situations I think that provoke movement forward. And then finally, at the end, I'm going to talk about a spiritual perspective on moving forward, why a spiritual position helps the whole process. So, paraphrasing, someone very famous, Aristotle, said that nothing can be done in this world without courage. It's the greatest quality of the mind next to honor. And then Shakespeare, and I am paraphrasing, but it's one of my favorite lines. A coward dies 1,000 times, a brave man only once. It's interesting that Artie was talking about hope, because I think a lot of us feel that I've got to have hope in the future before I can find courage. But actually, courage is the way to bring open hope. I think Artie mentioned it really, that by having courage and stepping forward, even if it's just one step, life opens up and there is hope on the horizon. And so it's really important to try and cultivate courage within us. I was thinking that there are three reasons why we might want to or have to move forward in life. The first one is when we have a cherished aim or goal or desire or wish, and it's in our psyche and it's in our sights and we want to go for it. So we will need courage, but there is a different impetus. And I will look at these a little bit more later. The second one, some external event forces us to move forward or to move. So we can be put into positions where we are backs against the wall or we're on the edge of a cliff, and those things, we just have to move. And then the third thing I was thinking is we find something, someone, or some situation intolerable. We can't tolerate what's happening, and so we just need to get away and see that as moving forward. So all of these three scenarios of moving forward with courage have obstacles built in, and it's those obstacles that we think we see that require the courage. So I'd just like to do a little exercise with you. It's not a meditation, but we do close our eyes, but it's not a meditation. And if you're just sitting comfortably and relaxed, maybe take another deep breath, just relax. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and imagine a particular scene. And I'd also like you to remember what it is you felt or what the answer to my questions were. So I'd like you to imagine that you are walking through the middle of a forest. And I'd like you to look around and notice what you see and what you are feeling. And then I'd like you to look down at the path in front of you and try to describe it to yourself, what it looks like. And as you walk along the path, keep going further, you look up, and about 25 yards in front of you, sitting, looking at you, is a big black bear. What do you do? Okay, you can open your eyes. If I were with you, I would ask each one individually for their answers. But as a general way of looking at this, the forest is a representation of life. So by you accessing your feelings within the forest, you can see how you're feeling right now about being alive in your life on your pathway. So you may be feeling afraid, you may be feeling claustrophobic, you may be feeling excited or curious. And the pathway also tells you a little bit about your way forward. So some people say that the path is very narrow and curved and you can't see the way forward. sometimes people say it's very wide and there's plenty of room for other people to walk with me. I once did this exercise with a businessman in Brazil, and he said it's a concrete path right through the middle of the jungle. So he certainly had goals and aims. And how you react emotionally to the seeing the bear sitting there on the path is basically how you react to any obstacles and problems in your life. So some people freeze, some people hide, some people turn around and run away. Some people, and it wasn't the same person, but he said he went up and stroked the bear and made friends with him. Some people go up, creep up quietly and go around the side of the bear. But all of this gives you kind of a way of looking or a little insight into your own reactions, if you didn't know them already, about how you respond and what kind of courage you manage to accumulate to face whatever obstacles are in front of you. Now, that isn't set in stone, so you could actually do this again tomorrow. And with any insights you have acquired through today and tomorrow, and any knowledge you have thought about deeply, then it may be quite different. Even though you know what you're going to do and say, and the bear doesn't come as a surprise, you can actually change your mindset to these kinds of things. So the first thing we were looking at was a cherished goal or aim. So if the reason we want to move forward is to pursue this kind of wish that we have, then it's not really courage that we need, but it's more like determination, because we really want it. And courage is kind of built in to determination. So there's the obstacles and challenges are much easier to deal with. So if that's what we want to do, we'll go and do it. And so we'll move forward automatically with courage. The one where an external event forces us to move on, that's a tricky one, because we may lose our job, we may have a breakdown of a relationship, we may lose someone we love and depend on, we may become ill, and all those different scenarios you can possibly imagine. These situations force us to do something different, force us to move on. And it's happened a couple of times in my life, that kind of situation. And it's more like moving, leaping, jumping into an unknown and developing the trust that the universe and my own power will respond and everything will turn out fine one way or the other. I think the trickiest one is the last one that I was talking about, which is the inability to tolerate a situation or a person or a relationship. And this is a very difficult situation to find courage for, because it's usually very complicated. And moving forward from something like that, there are very many ramifications. Lots of people may be involved. For example, I may be in a job that's intolerable, but I need the money and I'm afraid I won't get another job. Or I may be in a very long-standing relationship that's become intolerable, but so many other people are connected with that relationship that it may feel insurmountable. And as with all things, courage requires clarity. And I have to see my way forward to develop the courage. And sometimes it's very difficult to know what to do or even if to do anything. So sometimes we're in a frozen state, or we're not sleeping well, or the dreams are disturbing. And it's like the subconscious is trying to tell us that something's not right and we should move on. And life will certainly do that to us if we are trying to ignore that something's not right. So we will keep getting messages from our subconscious. And the interesting thing is, what I found is that the message from the subconscious will manifest in life one way or another. And at first it'll come like a feather across the cheek, and we'll think, oh yes, maybe I should do that. but we ignore it because it's too complicated. And if we do ignore it, we'll sort of get a tap on the shoulder from life, and we may heed it and we may not. Then if we don't, it might come like a slap on the face, and that wakes us up a little bit, and then we still don't heed it. And finally, it'll be like a Mack truck that's speeding its way into our life. And that by that time, it's usually because there's a lot of mess around, and it's harder to deal with, much harder to deal with. So perhaps the best thing to do is to take notice of the feather on the cheek. But I think that the worst kind of situation to be in is when you're in a state of indecision, that you have understood that you need to move and do something, make a change in your life. You haven't got the courage. You imagine all kinds of things that could go wrong, and you just stay not deciding what to do. And that's like a self-torture, and it's really not a kind thing to do to the self. A decision, actually, to do something is just a decision. It's just a thing that happens, and it does have ramifications. Every step I make and every decision I make does have ramifications, but doing something often is better than having a state of indecision. It's very stressful. It plays a lot on your subconscious, plays a lot on your mind. And, we could say, what's the worst thing that could happen anyway? I was reading in the Huffington Post recently that about 500 years ago, a philosopher called Michel de Montaigne said, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." So it made people smile at the time, but they did do a study, and it's very interesting that 85% of what subjects worried about never happened. With the 15% that did happen, 79% of people discovered that they could either handle the difficulty better than expected, or the difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. And that means 97% of what we worry about is never going to happen. So it's just a punishment of the mind to ourselves to have these horrible scenarios. And like Shakespeare said, you die 1,000 times if you're afraid, and just the one time when you're courageous. So what we have to find, or we finally get to the point where we have to move forward and then have the courage to do it. And I think one of the things that might hold us back is the kinds of things that the repercussions on the people that we care about. And my feeling is that when we're making decisions to move forward and finding the courage, we need to have something else in our mind. And that is that it should be as beneficial as possible for everyone concerned in the decision. It's my decision, it's my life. I have a right to live the life I want for myself. Everyone else has the right to be the way they are. But I think that it's the spiritual position or outlook that helps us not only gain courage, but also helps us to do that which is beneficial for the maximum number of people involved. So I'd just like to look a little bit at a spiritual position and what that gives us. First of all, I need knowledge and I need understanding, which brings me clarity, and then I need power. So knowledge and understanding gives me clarity, from which I can get power, and I can do absolutely anything then, really. So the first thing that spiritually is important to understand is, who am I? Who is it that's wanting to move forward? Who is it that's making decisions, has courage and doesn't have courage? And that's a really important thing to understand, that we are actually the thinking, feeling, being inside this costume, for want of a better word, that we are consciousness, which is made of thought. And that which thinks is the consciousness, and then the consciousness tells the body what to do. And we are actually amazing. We are beings of light consciousness. We use the word soul, but you can use any word you like, that helps you understand that I am not the physical body. I am a being of light energy. And we are all amazing, because within each soul, within each consciousness is a whole world. I could not possibly understand what has happened to you in your consciousness, what you have gone through, what you believe and think about each day. Neither can you understand that of me either. And yet we're all interconnected. We're not one thing. We're all interconnected. So our thoughts matter. The power of thought is absolutely amazing. And that's why a courageous thought is so powerful. A courageous thought brings hope. A courageous thought clears the path, takes the bear away, if you like. A courageous thought makes the bear into something tiny. And this is more possible when we understand who we really are, that the soul is driving everything, and that my thoughts, based on that understanding, can be filled with power, and I make things happen. It's like I make the world open up for me. I make the path beautiful. I make the forest flower. I make life amazing. And because otherwise I'm in this sort of box, really. And when I understand that I'm this consciousness, everything's possible. Light and power is possible. And the reason we feel discouraged or afraid is exactly because of that we've had all these experiences within this consciousness. And so our subconscious recognizes fear and discouragement, and it's based usually on previous experiences. So a small child, if you see them, when they just run around and they jump off chairs and they do anything, they're not afraid, because up until then they haven't fallen, or they haven't banged their heads, or they haven't hurt themselves. When they do, they start to be a little bit more careful. But if you take that into a more subtle level, every time I've been hurt, every time I have done something wrong and wished I hadn't done it, every time I've taken a step of impulsion and it hasn't worked out right, all of these little things accumulate and then make us discouraged, or the slightest little thing will remind us of that. And it's really important to understand that when I'm feeling fear, it's a good chance for me to have a look at, okay, what is this? What's happening? What memory is it triggering? If I can't find the memory that it's triggering, at least I can say, okay, it's a memory that's triggering, and it's not happening now. This is not happening now. This is my situation now. And from here, I can go forward with courage, because it's a new situation. And the more powerful my thoughts are about moving forward, the better the outcome will be for me. So understanding that I'm this energy, understanding that what it's recorded within me, everything that I do and see and say, and everything I think, is all recorded in me. And I need to be aware of that as I make my next decisions. And that's why those of us who meditate find meditation so powerful, because when I go into a state of inner awareness, of being that consciousness and not the role, my age, the female or male, those things muddy the waters. We're all actually light energy, all of us. And so when I spend time contemplating that and feeling that, not only do I get courage, but I also, it starts from a state of deep peace, because that's what the consciousness, the soul, this energy is made of, really. It's its natural state of returning to a state of deep peace. So I think that understanding who I am, understanding why I may be afraid and not wanting to move forward, and understanding that in meditation I will gain that power and clarity, those are the three things that I think help us move forward and with courage. I heard a lovely story the other day, and I'm going to share it with you because I think it has a bearing on what we're talking about this evening. And it's a story about the Red Indians in North America. And as you know, they are, most of them were nomadic, and they would spend time in a certain area when the hunting was good and the water was fresh and the weather was good. And they may spend quite a long time there, maybe years or certainly a year. And then at some point, they would have to move on. Either the hunting dried up or the weather changed, or I don't know, whatever reason, they had to move on. And so you can imagine them, the whole tribe, and they could be very big tribes. They would all pack up their belongings, take down the teepees. There'd be old people being pulled on cots by a horse. There'd be small children running. There'd be animals being pulled along, and horses and dogs and whatever. And then as they moved on, maybe after a day's journey, what they did was they all stopped, the whole tribe stopped, and they waited until their heart caught up. And I think that's a lovely image, that whatever movement we make forward, perhaps to give ourselves time when we move into that new state of being, to just wait a little and let the heart catch up. It was a lovely story. So I'm going to close the meditation, and I'm not sure, Artie, if I haven't spoken enough, but before I do, I would just like to wish all of you courage and faith in yourself and in the story of your life, and a couple of tips. Have good wishes for all the people involved. That's the way to make things benevolent. So whoever it is, even if it's a relationship where things have become intolerable and painful, then the secret is to have good wishes for those people that you're going to leave or move on from. Sometimes they're intolerable, the situations, but the best thing to do is to stay and tolerate. And if that's the situation and it's not for moving onwards, then the good wishes will help heal that, what you see as intolerable. But if you do move on, have good wishes for everyone that's involved. Keep the molehills small. Don't imagine too many horrible things that could happen, because your power of thought and power of good wishes for yourself too will keep everything light and bright. And don't overthink. Okay, so as I was saying, this feeling of recognizing the consciousness and the soul is not difficult to do, but there are other stages to meditation, and I'm sure that Artie will let you know when you could, or if you wanted to do a full meditation course so that you could learn how to do the more complex things which bring great power and clarity. But just being aware of the consciousness is very powerful. So I would like to talk you through a way of doing that. You can keep your eyes open or keep your eyes closed as you wish. And I will share some thoughts with you and see if you are able to feel a little bit of peace and courage. So if you'd like to just take another breath or two, 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out. And as you sit quietly, relaxed, like you just sort of scan through your body and see where any tension may lie. And if you can feel tension in any of your muscles, just make it more tense and then just release. Maybe it's in your shoulders. Maybe it's in your belly. Maybe it's in your legs. Just start to relax the muscles in your body. And I'd like you to become aware that you are thinking about your body, and that body is not you. You are the one who is thinking. It's not your brain. Your brain is a computer. You are operating the brain. But that is where you are located, in the brain, behind the eyes. And I'd like you to take your attention into your forehead, behind the eyes, and withdraw all the energy that you have spread throughout your body into that one particular place. And you may now feel that the energy is becoming more stronger, the energy is heightening. And you become aware that you are, in fact, light. You are light consciousness, made up of thought. And your natural tendency is to feel peace. I am peace and I am light. Because I am light and peace, I have all the other qualities at my disposal. Courage, faith, joy, love, benevolence. And as the energy gets stronger and stronger, feeling that peace and benevolence, I can illuminate the room around me. I can give peace and light to the room that I'm sitting in. I can give that light and peace to the whole building that I'm in. I am peace and I am light. As I take another deep breath, I can spread that light energy back through my body and become aware, my arms, fingers, feet. I can feel the chair I'm sitting in. That short exercise that we've just gone through, I hope you felt peaceful and encouraged. And you can do it anytime. All you have to do is sit quietly and become aware. But there are other steps to meditation that you might want to explore, because they're very powerful. It's a very powerful thing to do and will help you wherever you are. Okay. Om Shanti. Aarti.
Thank you. Okay, first question that's come through. During the forest scene, the exercise you did with us, the person says, I saw a stream. I nearly always see water or a waterfall during these sorts of meditations. Is this significant?
Yes, it is actually. Water is often representation of knowledge and often spiritual knowledge. So I don't know where you are on your journey and if you're pursuing any spiritual knowledge, but the fact that you're seeing it and it's flowing and it's presumably crystal clear and enjoyable, then I would think that it's something to do with your spiritual journey, that you're being refreshed or you're hoping to be refreshed, or it's something that's calling you. Yep, significant.
Okay. And so it's about wanting to... I always find that water means movement as well. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be saying... it could be saying, time to move.
Yeah, could be. All right, the next question. I agree courage is very energizing. However, when we're stuck as to which way to go, how to make the choice full-heartedly when you feel doubt in all directions?
Well, as I think I mentioned, that you need clarity, because one of the directions will be preferable to you, and I would take into account how you can do the best for everyone concerned. Doubt just comes, it's based on fear. And if you spend time, don't overthink, listen to yourself, listen inside, and there'll be something that will tell you the right way to go, the right thing to do. And once you've made that decision, just step forward with courage. Don't start thinking about all the other possibilities. Listen carefully to yourself, because you know. That's the other thing people don't realize. The soul knows what it needs to do. The soul knows what's best for it. We ignore it at our peril. And that's the feather and the Mack truck thing again. We ignore it at our peril. Something will be telling you. Life will be telling you, or dreams will be telling you, or you know, you actually know the right way to go. Hmm. And meditation helps you access that voice. So it's a good thing to practice.
I was just going to ask then, the next question really kind of flows in. How do you know? How do you listen to yourself when there's all that white noise going on in your head?
Okay, let's imagine that you are the person who's speaking. Let's say it's a big decision you have to make and you have got white noise and you have got fear. So you may not be able to make a decision today, but if you followed a certain daytime routine, these things become clearer. So if you get up early or earlier than you normally do and give yourself 15 minutes to sit quietly before you do anything, sit quietly and say, I need to know the way forward. I want to know the way forward. And then have some meditation. Just if you haven't learned how to do any further meditation, just the one we did now will help you. And be kind to yourself about what you eat and what you do during the day, and try to find moments during the day to sit again like that. And gradually you will start to have access to your inner voice. You'll start to have access to what's really going on. And then it may take a couple of weeks, it may take a couple of days, it may take a couple of months, but you learn how to understand that voice that's talking to you, which is you, really. It's just another part of you. So try to give yourself some healthy mentally healthy things to do? Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it starts to, because it goes into the next question for me. And the person's asking, what do you do when you feel you have to move in a direction in your career that you don't want to, but you find that you don't have a choice and you have to go into that direction, but you also want to create another direction. You want to create another direction to go alongside it, but there's nothing calling you from inside, nothing directing you.
Okay, I'm not quite understanding the scenario, obviously, because it obviously sounds complicated. If you have to move in your job into a position that you've been told to do, and you don't want to, there are two things. One, if you don't want to, don't do it, have a conversation, or say, okay, I don't want to do it right now, but trust that maybe some other opportunity will open up, or I will learn something. I can at least give it a go with all my best intentions, with all the courage, with benevolence for everyone concerned, and give it your best shot. I don't understand the bit about doing something on the side of it, but...
Maybe you want to start a new career path, or you want to develop a hobby, or I don't know.
I don't see any...
Exploring with that bit. There's nothing that's coming from inside you to direct you.
Doing that second. So, okay, so you've got a job you don't want to do. You want to find something else, but you don't know what that something else is. Is that the idea?
Yeah, perhaps that's the question. Okay. Yeah.
Well, again, do the job. It's the best of your ability, and start looking around and start asking, without sounding fanciful, start asking the universe, where shall I go? What shall I do? What's best for me? Start reading, start thinking, start exploring. And if you put it out into the ether, if you like, you have to have the faith that it'll come back to you. The answers will come back to you. Just take your time, be calm, meditate, have a nice, healthy life, and trust that you will find that way. It can't be just like that. Sometimes it takes time, and the time you spend looking is very valuable. It teaches you lots of things.
Such as?
Okay. Time is a dimension that we are living in at the moment. And when we meditate and spend the time doing that, we sort of enter into another thought level. And that level of thought has all the secrets for us within it. And sometimes it takes that time to access it, and that time to appreciate it, and that time to believe it and trust it. So it's a valuable spending of time by trying to get into that higher level of thinking.
Interesting. Okay, the person's come back, and they've very kindly come back and clarified. It's acting that's not happening. I just want to find something to occupy me or make me enthusiastic as well as the acting, but there is no direction.
Acting as a profession, does the person mean?
I'm guessing that's the case, yes.
How lovely. You can be anyone you want to be, or anyone they're telling you to be. Just repeat it, Artie. It's acting.
It's acting that's not happening. I just want to find something to occupy me or make me enthusiastic as well as the acting, but have no direction.
Okay, it's interesting you use the word direction. How about directing? If you want to be in the world of theatre, I'm understanding. So how about writing? How about directing or producing? Is that a field you could explore?
Interesting. Okay, so expand. Expand what your interest is.
Yeah.
Build on it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very interesting way of approaching it, because you're keeping yourself centred. but you're still expanding not just skills, but the way you see things, you do things. So it's feeding into. Okay, that's lovely. That's really lovely. Could you repeat, excuse me, could you repeat the Aristotle quote?
Yeah, I think it's, okay, hold on. Nothing can be done in this world without courage. It's the greatest quality of the mind, next to honor. Which I thought was interesting too, next to honor.
Very nice.
It's true, isn't it? We can't do anything without courage. We can't even get up in the morning and go out into the world. It needs a certain amount of courage. We have to, it's a very beautiful quality. Not vainglorious, not madly impulsive. That's not courage, is it? Courage requires clarity and deep thought and determination. It's not just leaping over the top with a weapon, is it?
Okay, because this actually, what you've just said, leads into the next question. I think you've kind of answered it, but I'll put it to you. I find myself doing things that look courageous, but for me, I do them because I find it difficult to make a decision. I easily get confused with pros and cons, and so I simply jump into doing things without thinking. Sometimes things work out. Other times I put myself into difficult situations. Do you think this is courage? Is it best to do something even if you haven't looked at the pros or cons? Or should you not do it at all?
Well, what I'm hearing here actually is impulsive. And if you are being impulsive, it's usually driven by some kind of a desire. So not necessarily something that will do you any good. So I think impulsive behavior is different from courageous behavior. And as you say, sometimes it'll be fantastic and sometimes everything will go pear-shaped. So although it sounds a bit boring, I'm guessing you're a kind of energetic, impulsive person, but it may sound a bit boring to sit and discern what's the best way to go forward and make a sort of mature decision and then apply the courage to do so. It's better, it'll probably bring you less trials and tribulations, but if you have an impulsive nature, it's a little bit harder to control because it's the way you are. So but if you, again, I'm going to keep saying, if you meditate, you'll find your inner voice and you'll start to say, that's too impulsive, that's not the way to go, that's going to harm me or it's going to harm someone else. Think of consequences rather than pros and cons. Have a sort of long look at what would happen, probably not worrying and fearfully, but what are the likely repercussions of this? Does that answer that?
Yes, it does. How do you do that without fear?
Just be detached and step back and have a look. One of the ways of being detached is how you would tell a friend of yours, you know, very, very beloved friend who wants to do the same thing you want to do. What would you say to them? Or how you would speak to a child who depends on you or believes in you and trusts you. What would you tell them to do? And really, you're talking to yourself, but you're taking a step back and looking at it without involving all your emotions at one time.
Understood. So the next question leads into that, from that. The person meditates, but they don't get insights or answers. So have you any further tips?
Oh, I'd need to speak to the person and see how often they meditate, what kind of meditation they do. Are they actually asking for insights? You know, sometimes people meditate and just expect the insights to plop into their head, but actually you have to make conscious thought. You have to use your thoughts to invoke the answers. So you use your thoughts to put forward what would be a solution and then contemplate and think about it and then go into silence. And then you may get the insights. I don't know how often you meditate, but I would suggest that you meditate at least every morning and every evening and for some time during the day too. And I think you'll find you will get insights.
So is there there is obviously a way that you should be asking to get insights. So how, I mean, do you just say, okay, this is the problem, what do you think? Or is there a way, what's the way that you do it? What's your personal technique?
Well, I have a great trust and faith in the, we've been talking about acting. I have a great faith in the way life is going. However it looks on the outside, I just believe there's a plan. There's a greater plan and I just want to fit into my bit of it. So I don't spend a lot of time wondering what I should do. I try to live every day as present as I can and just watch what's going on and watch what signals I'm getting and pay attention to them. But it's taken a long time to do that. Often I found that when I was younger, my mind would take over. My mind would be running here and there and say, no, do that. And that feels nice, that's good. But actually, I don't do that anymore. So I meditate a lot and I trust myself and I trust the story of life that is unfolding and I just want to be part of it and be as helpful to everyone as we go along, really.
So yeah, the person's responded and said they meditate in the morning and sometimes lunchtime. It's open eye meditation, but they don't ask for insights. So that's possibly why they're not getting it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, they may not need any insights at the moment. They may be meditating so well that life is just flowing beautifully, which is what happens.
That's lovely. That's a really lovely way of putting it. Thank you. Okay. So the next question is, this person saying, I've landed an amazing new job after working on myself for a year and being out of work. The opportunity to manage a team has been presented to me, which I've always wanted to do. However, I've not had the courage to put myself forward as a manager. Should I now take the manager opportunity being presented to me after just being in this new role for 2 weeks?
Well, there are lots of factors here, but my instinct to you is yes, because not only would I say yes, because it's something you've always wanted, I think from the question, it's something you want to do. A couple of tips in management. If you can, try and treat the people who you are managing as if they were volunteers, not paid employees. Value them. Understand them, find out where they're all coming from. Every team needs different kinds of people. You can't have people like you. You need to have people who are not like you to help you form a whole. You can't have lots of entrepreneurs and nobody looking after the accounts. You can't have lots of people looking after the accounts and no one going out selling. I don't know what your situation is, but you'll get the picture. You have to have, if you can, a team that can do, each one can do a special thing. And if they can, and you've recognized it, respect it and treat them as if they weren't doing it for money. They were just doing it because they wanted to be there. And a lot of respect is my tip, but why not just go for it?
Lovely. Next question. I'm usually courageous and help others to be so as an advisor. A new manager is undermining me, and I seem to have lost this ability to face of this harassment. I also don't know if I can trust other colleagues around me and am withdrawing from others at work. I now only trust my friends and family, So work seems like a hostile place and a fearful place for me. How do I find my way through this?
Oh, it's a situation I've seen many times, and it's very difficult to live through. First of all, maybe ask yourself, do you want to stay there? And I know it's a difficult time to find another job, but maybe just have a look around if you don't want to stay there. You've been undermined, and therefore what you've done is you've lost your courage and you've lost your integrity because you're afraid, because they're undermining you. I don't know in what way they're doing that, if they're criticizing you or if they're trying to change you, or it's difficult to understand what they're doing. But clearly the result has been that you have lost faith in yourself. You have a right to be who you are. Their opinion of you has no bearing on who you are. My suggestion would be, if you can find the courage to stick it out and build up that integrity you have inside, build it up again, because it's not gone away, it's just fallen down a bit. And believe in yourself, and use your friends and family to confide in. Keep your counsel at work. You don't have to have confidants at work. It's nice if you do, but you don't have to have them. Do your job. And as I was saying, send out good vibration. I'll tell you something. If you did some meditation and you sent good wishes to that person who is undermining you, really from your heart, just send them good wishes, amazing things happen. The power of thought is so amazing. I'm going on about it, but it really is. And if you could spend some time each day just sending them good wishes, but sincere ones, not, oh, I'll think good things about you because it's going to work. Really, and start to see them in a different way. You might work miracles yet in the company, but only if you really want to do that. Otherwise, it sounds a bit toxic. I think I might, if I were you, have a look around for other things if you feel that you can't do any of those other approaches.
So can you tease out a little bit what good wishes is? Mm. It sounds lovely to have a nice thought about somebody, but it also sounds a little airy-fairy. So what do you mean?
Okay, so the way I do it is going back to what I was saying earlier about spirituality, is to take a spiritual perspective. So if you remember, I was saying that we're all consciousness, so that person also is light, that person also has a whole world inside them, that person also has a story that we are not a party to. And because they're in my milieu, that person has deserves the very best of good wishes and good thoughts from me. There'll be history there somewhere, and either it will be a situation which I've had to face before, or a situation I've caused before, or a situation where the things that are coming into play are coming into play for a reason. And a spiritual perspective says, I can heal this situation. So the healing comes from recognizing that other being, that other world. You don't know why they're being the way they are. They may have a very sad story behind them. Usually people who are arrogant and bossy and mean have very low self-esteem. I mean, these are huge things we're opening up now. But the fact that they've got low self-esteem, if you can deal with them with respect, if that's all you can manage, respect them. And in your mind, respect them. Not just say yes or no, sir, but in your mind, hold respect for them as a person, as someone who has a right to be there and in your life. And from that basis, then you can just send this kind of respect and I can't think of another word other than good wishes, wishing them well, wishing them growth, wishing them insight, wishing them their way forward. Is that any clearer?
I think so. I think you've given me an example that I can grab there. So it's really from your heart, being with complete integrity, respecting someone if that's what they need,
or give them what they need. We are into strange territory here because there are sociopaths and they're very difficult, toxic people to be around. But if in that case, I would definitely move. But identifying them is quite hard. But otherwise, it's just someone who's having maybe had a difficult journey and is in your life now to maybe you can help them.
All right. There's one more question, and then we've got announcements. So, and we're well over time. So I'm just going to ask you the question. How can I consciously help my adult son who is going through a difficult time and turns to drugs so that he doesn't have to deal with his life? Can I help him, or is this his journey to go through and manage?
It's very hard to give advice without knowing the situation properly. But in a general sense, I think you're right. It's his journey. And again, he's your son. And again, if you have the strength and the willingness to have insights and help from your behavior and thought patterns, he's a very lucky boy. If that journey takes him away or down, I don't actually think, other than being there, you can do much about that. And let's hope it doesn't go that way. But have conversations when you can. Again, it's to do with your thoughts and your wishes for him. And in your case, I would say a certain detachment, loving detachment, a detachment away from the emotional involvement you have with him. And this is very hard. I'm saying things that are not easy to do, but to try and step back a little bit and see his journey and let him know you're there, but don't enable him in any way, but let him know that you're there and you walk along the path with him for the time being, if he would like.
It is hard. And sometimes having to make those decisions and taking those actions is incredibly hard, but you do need courage to do it. But it's the same as the concern that maybe, am I a good enough manager for someone or a leader for someone, or how do I show respect to someone who's being so awful? All of those things take courage, but some kind of conviction, right?
Belief. And the thing is, I don't know, Artie, but I think that the belief in the self is the most important, that you're facing with a situation that you do have the wherewithal to manage, the wherewithal to bring smooth the path. And we have the power to do that. It's just that we have to believe that we do.
Sounds like a whole new talk.
Yeah. These are very big questions.
Yeah. So thank you, Jane, for making the time and being with us this evening. We'll be seeing you at Covent Garden.
Sure. Lovely. Thank you so much.